الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran poses three questions. There are other questions besides this, but pertinent to what we are discussing on this occasion, there are three very fundamental and very important questions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks. And these questions are so important that they be answered correctly. That if they are not answered correctly, then a person can have all the comfort, all the luxuries of this world. He may have had the best university degree. He may be a Harvard University graduate, Oxford University graduate. From class one, he may have been coming out first. May have passed with flying colors. But if he has failed to answer these questions correctly, then this life of this world will cease to have any significance whatsoever. The difficulties and the hardships and the trials and the tribulations of this world will become meaningless when compared to the excruciating and terrible torment that will face this person forever and ever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the people of Jahannam and Allah ta'ala will ask them, Ya Ahlan Nar, O people of Jahannam, they will reply, Labbaik Rabbana wa Sa'adaik, O Allah, we are present. And then Allah will ask them, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ That how long did you live in this world? whether it was 50 years, whether it was 60 years, whether it was 100 years, or whether like the nation of Ad, where the children would become baligh at the age of 300, and they would go on to live for 900 and 1000 years, regardless of how long the life in this world was, they will reply, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. O Allah, we live for one day in this world, for a portion of one day. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. When they will face the life of hereafter, it will appear as if the life in this world was one morning or one evening. And then Allah Ta'ala will say to them, بِئْسَ مَتْ تَجَرْتُمْ فِي يَوْمٍ أَوْ بَعْضِ يَوْمٍ. To understand this expression, it becomes simpler by way of example. You send your son to the market with 1 rand, and he goes and buys goods worth 50 cents and he pays 1 rand for it. And he comes home very proudly and he says, Papa, this is the deal that I went and did. You'll look at him and you'll wonder, could this have been my son? And where I went wrong? Normally, how they do it nowadays, they blame the mother. And with great anger, you'll say to him, بِئْسَ مَتْ تَجَرْتُمْ. What a foolish deal you went and did. What a great loss you went and incurred. Similar to that is this expression where Allah Ta'ala will say to the people of Jahannam, that بِئْسَ مَتْ تَجَرْتُمْ فِي يَوْمٍ أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. What a terrible deal you went and did in one day, or a portion of one day. You gave up that life, you sold the life in the world, that one day or a portion of one day, and in return for it you got sakhati, wa ghadabi, wa la'nati, wa nara jahannama khalideena fiha abada. You earn my anger, you earn my retribution, you earn my curses, you earned the azab of Jahannam, wherein you will reside forever. That fire whose stones will melt mountains, what will that fire do to the flesh and bones of insan? كَلَّا لَيُمَّذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. Allah says they will be thrown into the treasure. And what will make you know what is the treasure? It is Allah's kindle fire, التي تطلع على الأفئدة, that will penetrate the hearts of man. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ. Allah says that fire will be vacuum packed upon the Jahannamis. This expression, عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ. This word ala, for those who understand Arabic, itself depicts one very frightening picture. And then mu'sada, literally packed, locked up, vacuum packed. But we'll understand what is meant here better. Perhaps the women folk might understand it better. When you take the example of a pressure cooker, the bottom of it is hard, the sides of it are hard, and it is vacuum sealed on the top so that the steam and the heat can collect inside. A small hole is left on the top for the excess steam to escape. And the effect of creating heat in a vacuum situation is such that that meat, which takes 2 hours to cook in a pressure cooker in 10 minutes time, is already soft. And if it is left any longer, for half an hour, the meat will separate from the bones and eventually it will start melting. So Allah says, إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ. That they will be vacuum packed in Jahannam. But unlike the pressure cooker where a small hole will be left for the excess steam to escape, the walls of Jahannam are such, the pressure cooker, that hole is left there, because if it is not left there, then it will become a bomb, it will explode. But Jahannam is stronger than that. No hole will be left also. An insan will be put into that fire, which will cause his skin and his bones and his body to melt. But the musibat and the problem is, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. That in this world, whatever problem a person experiences, eventually he consoles himself that death will give me release and solace from my problem. But there he will not die. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. Verily those who rejected our signs, Allah says, soon we will put them into a blazing fire. Every time one layer of skin is burnt, we will replace it with another layer of skin so that they can continue experiencing the azab of Jahannam. They will not die to such an extent that it comes in the riwayat that if every grain of sand on this earth, we can't count the grains of sand in lodium even. But for every grain of sand on the whole earth, if each grain of sand was equivalent to 1 year, and it was told to the Jahannamis, for that period of time you will suffer in Jahannam and then you will get moth, then there will be no limit to the extent of joy of the Jahannamis if they receive such news. What good will a university degree and what good will a worldly accolade of intelligence do in the face of such retribution and such punishment and such chastisement and such difficulty? 3 questions Allah asks. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That, O insan, did you come into existence by chance? Did you just come into existence? What happens by chance in this world? Nothing. Does any housewife expect that when she gets up in the morning and walks into her kitchen, that all the food will be ready, cooked, prepared, served on the dishes and ready to be put on the dasturkhan? Or does any businessman expect that when he goes to his factory, all his production for the whole year will have been met, his targets will have been met, everything will be packed, loaded in the trucks, ready for delivery, by chance? Such an notion or an idea, any intelligent person will tell you, is ludicrous. What can happen by chance? أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Such a complex creation of Allah, this insan, this human being. Allah is asking you, did you come into existence by chance? Because if you did, then you got chutti. Then there's no problem. Then there's no need to distinguish between milk and sharab, between music and qiraat, between oppression and justice, between lies and truth, between riba and halal, between zina and chastity. Then you have got complete freedom if you came into existence by chance. So Allah is asking, did you just come into existence by chance? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or are you the creators? Did you create yourself? Did you bring yourself into existence? أَمْ خَلَقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Or the heavens and the earth, did you create it? These questions which Allah is posing, insan is incapable, based on his own intelligence, intellect and understanding, to answer these questions correctly. Because this insan, by his very nature, he is defective. His intellect is defective. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah says this insan is very weak. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah doesn't say zalim, Allah says zalum, very oppressive. Jahil, not jahil, jahul, very, very ignorant. Qatura, very ungrateful. Kafura, ungrateful. Fayausun qanut, loses hope very quickly. Farihun fakur, loses control of his emotions very quickly. Innal insana khuliqa halu'a. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Temperamental. When good conditions come, he becomes hasty. When difficult conditions come, he becomes miserly. These defects, Khaliq-e-Insan, the creator of insan, Allah is saying is found in you. So no matter what robe you adorn, I am a general of an army, or I am the ruler of a superpower, or I am an industrialist, or I am a physical engineer, or I am an electrical engineer, or I am a lawyer, or I am a judge. Whatever robe you adorn, whatever outward appearance you show to society, these basic deficiencies and defects are found in you whether you like it or not. Dha'ifa, qatura, kafura, halu'a, manu'a, jazu'a, kafura, dhaluma, jahula. You are weak, you are temperamental, you are oppressive, you are totally ignorant, you are argumentative, you are hasty, you are temperamental, you are miserly. Insan is beset with these deficiencies. It is impossible for him to answer these basic questions based on his own intellect. Because when insan's intellect was given free rein, then the theories of his existence which he came forth with are ludicrous. Someone came along and said that there was one cell that came into existence by chance. Thereafter, based on natural outward influences, the cell, a process of evolution took place. Till eventually, one so-called intelligent human being regarded his grandfather to be a monkey. And then from a monkey, further evolutionary processes took place and they said insan came into existence. With regards to the existence of the heavens and the earth, what they said is that this world was existing from forever. That was the view of Greek philosophers. There was no starting point. And then round about the 19th century, they found that this world is expanding all the time. So if it is expanding, it must have started from a certain point. So Edwin Hubble put forward the Big Bang theory, that it was compact and then it expanded. An explosion took place. And here also the atheists said it took place by chance. Such uniformity, such system, where each thing like clockwork is carrying out its set role. And they say this happened by chance. An Australian scientist, Paul Davis, in 1932, he did a calculation. He said there are two opposing forces. One is the gravitational force that pulls inwards. And one is the force of an explosion that pushes outwards. He said there is such system in this universe that if any of these two forces was too much, if there was too much gravitational pull, then the world would have imploded. And if there was too much outward explosion, the world would have, there would have been absolute chaos. He said, for us to believe that this could have happened by chance, an explosion brings about such uniformity. It's like saying, a farmer harvested all his wheat. A bomb exploded and all the wheat blew out and got packed in their bales loaded onto the truck. Or it's like saying a bomb blew in this masjid and each one of you ended up in your car, precisely the car you came with. He said these two forces, the inward force of gravity, the outward force of the explosion, he mathematically calculated what was the margin for error that was allowed. For such system to come into existence, what was the margin for error? What I am saying to you now is not Quran and Hadith. You don't have to accept it. If it makes sense, accept it. If it doesn't make sense, don't accept it. No problem. It's not Quran and Hadith or anything. But using his own calculations, what was the margin for error? He says if you take a second, 1 second, and divide it into 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 parts, to that extent of time, if the gravitational pull was too much or the outward explosion force was too much, this entire universe would have been destroyed. He says when there was so little margin for error, how do you expect me to accept that all this came into being by chance? That is just, he says that there must have been some being, there must have been some super intelligence that Pagal didn't understand. 1400 years ago, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already answered this question, Inna Rabbakum Allah. That verily your Rabb is Allah. Who is Allah? Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard fi sittati ayyam. Who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Thumma istawa ala al-arsh yughshi al-layla al-nahar yatlubuhu khatitha wal-shamsa wal-qamara wal-nujum musakkaratin bi-amrih ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr tabarakallahu rabbul alameen. These complex, confusing things which I mentioned, understand it by a simple example. There was one atheist, one day he met a village dweller, Bedouin. Person who'd never seen the inside of a university or a college, or never had any formal education. So they got into a discussion. So this Bedouin, in his simple manner, he's explaining. He says, Al-ba'ratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir. وَالْأَثَرُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَسِيرِ أَفَلَا سَمَاءٌ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجٍ وَأَرْضٌ ذَاتُ فِجَاجٍ وَبَحْرٌ ذَاتُ أَمْوَاجٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. He says, listen, if you see camel droppings lying on the ground, it tells you a camel passed here. And if you see a footprint in the sand, it will tell you a human being passed here. This huge sky, like one brother the other day was telling me, he says he met a doctor, he met an architect in Azadville. And he's telling that architect, just to explain to him, he says, you see, if you had to put a roof over the whole of Azadville, how many pillars you'll need to support that roof for it to stand? He was trying to explain Allah's Qudrat, that the sky, there's no pillars of support, and is hanging aloft, put into place. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِ. Where Allah says, the heavens is in the right hand of Allah. يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَ. Allah has kept each thing in its place, so that he doesn't move out. So he says, he asked this architect, how many pillars you'll need to support a roof over Azadville? A rhetorical question. That poor person told him that, listen, I'll need a few days to make the necessary calculations and tell you. Sometimes too much studying is no good also. So he told him, Allah Ta'ala invites, look at my sky without any pillars. Try and find a deficiency. Use your instruments. Use your compasses. Use your computers. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Can you find any deficiency? ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرُ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِيًا وَحَسِيرٌ. Look again, and then look again, and then look again. You will never find a deficiency in the creation of Allah. So he says, this huge sky standing aloft without any pillars, this huge earth with its deep ravines, and this huge sea with its mountainous waves, like the camel dropping tells you the camel passed here, and the footprint tells you a person passed here, doesn't these huge living examples of the Qudrat of Allah tell you there is one Wahid Qahhar being that brought all this into existence? أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is asking, but insan will never be able to answer these questions correctly. Who created all this? What is the purpose of the creation? In what lies success? In what lies failure? Once this human being will move away from the noor of wahi, from the noor of revelation, from the noor of that knowledge which emanated from the arsh of Allah, and was passed on to us through the medium of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this insan will never ever be able to answer these questions correctly. But unfortunately, today we have no value for the noor of wahi. We have no value for the ulum of Quran. That Quran, which it comes in the riwayat, that if the Quran had to be revealed in its original form, the sifat, the quality of Allah, had to be revealed in its original form on the Lawh-e Mahfuz, the Lawh-e Mahfuz would have been rent asunder. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Allah says, if we reveal this Quran on a mountain, the mountain would be rent asunder, would turn to dust out of the fear of Allah. Yet the Quran has become an irrelevant message to us today. Put on the shelves, somebody dies, open the Quran, make khatm al Quran. Or Ramzan Sharif comes, see which masjid is getting it over the quickest, go there and get the Taraweeh done. But the relevance of it has come out of our lives. That Quran, which would rend mountains asunder, what must have been the heart of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to contain the Quran? My son is a university graduate. My son has a doctorate. My son has a PhD. My son has studied this science and that science. If Allah had to give you the life of Nuh alayhi salam, 1,000 years, and you had to go through the archives of the so-called knowledge of insan, go to the universities of the world with a life of 1,000 years and go through their books with a microscope, page by page, line by line, answer these three basic questions. Who created you? Who created the heavens and the earth? And what is the purpose of your creation? What will give you success? What will give you failure? Have all the PhDs and all the university degrees with a life of 1,000 years. Go line by line with a microscope through the archives of the knowledge of insan of the world. Wallah, you will not answer these questions. Without the nur of wahi, insan, based on his own logic, on his own understanding, will never answer these questions. What can insan possibly create? You can't make a stone. They haven't been able to make one stone. How are they going to make a mountain? You can't make a grain of sand. How are you going to make the sand of the earth? You can't make one droplet of water. How are you going to make the ocean? All the science of the world today get together, scientists, and tell them to make one leaf. They can't make one leaf. How are they going to make a tree? Everything around us, Allah Ta'ala has answered in His Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Why don't those who disbelieve see that the heavens and the earth were compact? فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا We split them. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ And we made every living thing out of water. There was no earth, Allah created the earth. There was no air, Allah created the air. There was no sky, Allah created the sky. There was nothing, Allah created everything. Allah says, and we created every living thing out of water. Water. No taste, no color, no smell. Yet the water goes into the mouth of the cow and milk is produced. It goes into the mouth of the deer and musk is produced. It goes into the mouth of the bee and honey is produced. It goes into the mouth of the silkworm and silk is produced. It goes into the mouth of the oyster and a pearl is produced. Who is doing? The ground, sand, no taste. Water, no taste. That seed, no taste. It goes into the ground. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَىٰ Allah says, we split that seed. We bring forth that sprout. Thereafter the trunk, then the branches, then the leaf. That branch, no taste. The branch is bitter. The leaf is bitter. And on the end of that leaf is that mango or that pomegranate. That mango, orange on the outside. Beautiful orange. That pomegranate, pink, sometimes white. Which dye factory does that fruit have contact with? Where is the color coming from? That pomegranate, it's peel, brittle. Break it open. Break it open and inside a world of pearls. Vacuum packed. Living demonstration of the qudrat of Allah. That mango, sweet. Which sugar mill does that mango have contact with? Which sugar mill does that pomegranate have contact with? ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ Allah says, this is your haqiqi Rabb.
This is your Allah who is showing you all this. Everything around you, even you. Even you are a living example of the Qudrat of Allah. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Allah says, every living thing we made out of water, we made you out of water also. أَلَمْ يَكُ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَنِيِّ يُمْنَى. Were you not a drop of sperm? Somewhere Allah says, مَا إِنْ دَافِقْ, a spurt of liquid. Somewhere Allah says, مَا إِنْ مَهِينْ, a drop of worthless fluid. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah says, verily we created this insan from an extract of clay. From an extract of clay, he was made into a drop of sperm in a safe receptacle. From a drop of sperm into a clot of blood. From a clot of blood into a lump of flesh. Stage upon stage of creation. Somewhere the sperm is being produced. Somewhere the sperm is swimming towards the egg. Somewhere conception has taken place. Statistics of 1990 show, every day 300,000 children are born. Child is carried for 9 months. Multiply 9 months by the number, by 30 days. And then multiply by 300,000. That is just an estimate in the wombs of so many women at one time, in various stages of creation, insan is being produced. Somewhere an eye is being formed, somewhere an eyelid is being formed, somewhere ears are being formed, somewhere beautiful fingers are being formed, somewhere the feet is being formed, somewhere the tiny toes of the child are being formed, somewhere the liver, somewhere the kidney, somewhere the stomach, somewhere the intestine. At one time, in millions of women's stomachs or wombs, Allah is exhibiting that I am Khaliq. I am the creator, I am the sustainer, I am the nourisher, I am the provider. Yabna Adam, man awsala ilayka al-ghidha, wa anta janinun fi batni ummik. O insan, who sustained you when you were but a fetus in the womb of your mothers? At one time, Allah is showing His Qudrat. Various stages of development are taking place at one time. That is insan. What about the she camel? What about the she horse? What about the she tiger? What about the she lion? What about the she elephant? In the wombs or in the stomach of all those female animals, at one time children are being formed. Someone's eyes, someone's ears, someone's nose, someone's trunk, someone's hoof, someone's paw. At one time, takhleeq is taking place. To such perfection, مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَا. Allah doesn't forget anything. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Allah doesn't make any mistakes. مَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Nothing beyond the power of Allah. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing concealed from Allah. لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا. Allah not negligent of any of His creation at one time. To such an extent that نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, it never happened that a cat gives birth to a dog or a dog gives birth to a monkey. No mistakes, no errors in the creation of Allah. It never happens. You take out a photograph, send it to the developing house. Sometimes the print is defective. Yet which rose in its redness there is defect? Which white flower in its whiteness there is defect? Which nightingale in its voice there is defect? Which peacock in its beautiful plumes and feathers there is defect? Allah is exhibiting. Allah is Khaliq. Allah is Khaliq at one time, creating all this. And then the eggs. How many children are being formed in eggs? That ant, that tiny ant, which sometimes you can't even see properly. That tiny ant comes in riwayat, yara dabiban namlati sawda ala sakhrati samma fi laylati dhalma. Ajeeb. Dark night, black rock, further darkness by the shadow of the black mountains, and then black silt on the black rock, and then a black tiny ant walking. Dabib means the invisible footprint or line that the ant leaves behind as it is walking. Allah says, I even see the footprint of that ant. And then that ant lays 30,000 eggs in the crevice inside that black rock on that black night. Allah is the creator of each and every one of those eggs. And Allah is aware of each one. Which one is going to become a soldier ant? Which one is going to become a worker ant? Which one is going to become an assistant of the queen ant? That is eggs. Come back to insan. It is said in the development of that fetus, if an error occurs, if Allah becomes negligent, to what extent? To the extent that you divide 1 centimeter into 1 million parts, to that extent if an error occurs, then the eyeballs will end up underneath the feet and the toes will come out of the forehead. Khaliq, Allah is exhibiting His takhliq in the womb of that mother in 3 layers of darkness with this ihtiyat, with this precaution, that the color of the eyeballs of no 2 human beings is exactly the same. The appearance of no 2 human beings exactly the same. The accent of no 2 human beings exactly the same. The intonation in the voice of no 2 human beings exactly the same. The temperament of no 2 human beings exactly the same. The fingerprint of no 2 human beings exactly the same. In 3 layers of darkness, from 1 cell, which you need a microscope to see. These fingerprints, they said there are 100 lines on the fingertip. 100 ridges, they call them. To find 2 human beings where 2 are exactly the same, you'll have to examine 2 out of the 100 are the same, you have to examine 16 people. Find 3 out of the 100 the same, you have to examine 64 people. Find all 100 the same, you have to examine every human being that will live on the surface of this earth for the next 4 billion years. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah says, if you have to enumerate, if you have to count, if you have to reflect, if you have to ponder, ni'mat Allah, one ni'mat of Allah, you will never be able to do this. That fingerprint, that fingertip, put a blindfold on, and the fingertip starts talking to him. You have touched wood, you have touched glass, you have touched metal, you have touched cushion, you have touched leather, you have touched soft, you have touched hard, you have touched hot, you have touched cold. His fingertip is talking to him. Place the hand on the mother, a different feeling. Place the hand on the father, different feeling. On the brother, different feeling. On the sister, different feeling. On the wife, different feeling. On a friend, different feeling. On an enemy, different feeling. One ni'mat of Allah. If Allah took away the sensory perception, then what? Which doctor, which scientist is going to restore it for you? Everything around us is a living invitation. Appreciate your Allah. See the qudrat of Allah. See the power of your Allah. In that rain droplet that is falling from the heavens, in every drop of water, as it pitter-patter strikes the ground, if we listen with the correct hearing, you will hear Allah, 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 Allah. In the soaring eagle, you will see the noor of Allah. In the soaring falcon, you will see the noor of Allah. In the lush landscapes of this land, you will see the noor of Allah. In that stream, gushing through the mountain part, as it comes down the mountain, in its melodious music, it is announcing, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. In that waterfall that is thundering and crashing onto the ground, it is shouting out, Allah, Allah, Allah. Every creation of Allah is a living example, embodiment of the noor of Allah. Allahu nooru samawati wal ard. Mathalu noorihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. Al misbahu fi zujajah. Al zujajatu kaannaha kawkabun durri. Yuqadu min shajaratin mubarakatin zaytuna. La sharqiyatin wala gharbiyya. Yakadu zaytuha yudhi. Walau lam tamsashu naar. Noorun ala noor. Yahdi Allahu li noorihi man yasha. In every creation of Allah is the noor of Allah. In the leaf is the noor of Allah. In the rain droplet is the noor of Allah. In the rays of the sun you will see the noor of Allah. In the twinkling of the stars you will see the noor of Allah. In the shining of the moon you will see the noor of Allah. In the lightning you will see the noor of Allah. In the lush landscapes you will see the noor of Allah. In the snow-capped mountain peak you will see the noor of Allah. In the eagle soaring in the sky you will see the noor of Allah. In that tiny baby that smiles at you, you will see the noor of Allah. This is a fallacy of the West. This is a lie of the West. This is a treachery of the West. That intelligence is to have a university degree. Intelligence is to have a PhD. The most jahil, the most ignorant nation on the surface of this earth is that nation that is the most jahil of Allah. The one who looks around him and doesn't see the noor of Allah, doesn't hear the qudrat of Allah, does not hear Allah, 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 Allah in every of the creation of Allah. He is jahil. Not having a PhD or not having a university degree, wallah, that is not jahalat. That gatekeeper who's standing at your house gate, who's never been to a school, never been to a university, never had a formal education, but he has understood the oneness of Allah, and he has accepted the nur of hidayat represented by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the poet says, "Afalat shumusul awwalina wa shamsuna abadan ala ufuqil ula la taghrubu." That the suns of the nations of the past have set, but our sun, our source of light, our source of guidance, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till qiyamah will never set. That gatekeeper who has no formal education but has accepted the oneness of Allah, has accepted the nur of hidayat represented by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallah, wallah, I am sitting on the minbar of the masjid. The intelligence that that man possesses is greater than the combined intelligence of the whole world of kuffar put together. There may be no salah in his life. There may be no zakat in his life. There may be no hajj in his life. He may just have iman on the kalima, iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His example is like a person with sight in one eye. And the tragedy and the travesty that is facing this ummah today is that the person with sight in one eye is asking the blind man to guide him. How must I dress? How must I run my home? How must I bring up my children? What must I train them for? What is education for them? What is the purpose and role of my existence in this world? In what is my success? What is my failure? What are my goals? What are my objectives? The person with sight is asking the blind man to guide him. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tastadhi'u binaril mushrikeen." He said, do not even take warmth. Don't take warmth from the fire of the mushrikeen. They are blind, they can never guide you. This ummah has sunk to such a level of humiliation. Defeat on the battlefield, persecution in this world meted out from the kuffar, that is not failure for this ummah. Loss of life, loss of property is not failure for this ummah if this ummah is on haqq. In Uhud, when outwardly Sahaba were defeated, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-harbu sajalum bainana yanaluna minna wa nanalu minhu." These wars are a pendulum between us and them. Sometimes they will be victorious, sometimes we will be victorious. That is not defeat. That is not failure for this ummah. Failure is when this ummah ideologically will be defeated. When the ummah of Quran, when the ummah of Kaaba, when the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to ask the West to guide him. Where was nakedness ever found in the East? Nakedness was never found in the East. Nakedness came in the East when the East started following the West. We are that blind, foolish jamaat that is saying, waladdallin amin, behind the West. Music is food for your soul, amin. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like water will cause crops to grow, music will make nifaq and hypocrisy grow in your heart. We say it is food for the soul. Let the ringing of coins be music to your ears. This dunya is your object. Make your stomach your qibla. Follow your passions and desires, that is success for you, ameen. Why are you getting a good degree? Why are you studying so hard? I want to get a good degree. Why are you getting a good degree? I want to get a good job. Why are you going to get a good job? I want to get a good salary. Why are you going to get a good salary? So I can give my child a good education. Why are you going to give him a good education? So that he can get a good degree. So that he can get a good job. So that he can get a good salary. So that he can give his child a good education. meaningless cycle. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah is asking, do you think that we created you for these games? For these meaningless cycles. وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And you're not going to return back to Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah says, I never created insan and jinnat except for my service, to make my marifat, to recognize who is Allah, so that the qibla of this heart becomes Allah. Allah becomes maqsood, Allah becomes matloob, Allah becomes the goal, Allah becomes the direction. He's living for Allah, he's dying for Allah. Ma uridu minhum mir rizq. Allah says, I don't need your rizq. I don't need your shops and your jobs. Ma uridu an yut'imun. I don't need you to feed. Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwati al-mateen. Razik is Allah. The owner of absolute power is Allah. Slave after the dunya. I will enslave you to the dunya. That is Allah's system. But we'll believe the lies of the newspaper. And believe the lies of those lying politicians whose whole life is spent in lying. We'll believe them. But our Khaliq and our Malik, Allah, we are not prepared to believe. And Allah, Allah is not in need of taking oaths. Insan, and somebody doesn't want to believe him, or doesn't want to accept what he's saying, or he wants to put emphasis on what he's saying, he takes qasam. Wallah is like this, or Tallah is like this. Allah doesn't need to take qasam. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. There is no one more truthful than Allah. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. There is no greater truth than that which has come from Allah. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no doubt in it. Yet, out of his shafqat, out of his mercy, out of his kindness, Allah takes qasam and still we don't believe. Allah says that rozi, that sustenance of yours is not coming from the shop, is not coming from the job, is not coming from the degree, is not coming from your efforts. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَادُونَ. From the heavens, on my system, on my qudrat, your rozi is coming. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقْ. By the qasam of the Rabb, of the heavens and the earth, this is haq. Allah says, qasam, it is haq. We say we'll believe the newspaper and we'll believe that lying politician, but ya Allah, you we won't believe. That is why when that muazzin is calling out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the jahil nation on this world, is in this world is that nation which hasn't understood Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That nation on whose ears azan falls, on deaf ears, that is jahalat. Jahalat is not lack of university degrees or not having a PhD. Jahalat is jahalat of Allah, jahalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, jahalat of Quran, jahalat of qabr, jahalat of jannat, jahalat of jahannam. That is jahalat. When we turned our backs on the noor of wahi, we are swimming in a sea of jahalat, of ignorance, of blackness, of darkness, which Quran describes. أو كالظلمات في بحر اللجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور. Black night, dark night, black waters of the oceans, blackness of the rising waves, and then wave upon wave, darkness upon darkness upon darkness upon darkness. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. To such an extent that when he takes his hand out, he can't see his own fingers also. Such zulmat and such darkness that the five-time musalli of today goes for hajj, stands on the plains of Arafat and raises up his hands, Ya Allah, help the ummah. And the yaqeen in his heart is that my shop is providing for me. And my job is providing for me. And it is my systems. And I am doing. Me chalatahu. It is me that is doing. How is Allah ever going to answer such a dua? That earth that was shaking, Sahabi stamps his foot on the ground and says, stop shaking. That dua is answered. And today, this ummah by the millions are crying and the duas are not being answered. Why? Because their hearts were living hearts, our hearts are dead hearts. That heart which does not beat with the love of Allah, with the azmat of Allah, with the kibriyai of Allah, with the qudrat of Allah, with the jalal of Allah, is a dead heart. Now salah was made, now. وَإِنَّ السَّاجِدَ لَيَسْجُدُ فِي قَدَمَيِّ الرَّحْمَانِ. A person in sajda is making sajda on the feet of Rahman. How many of us in that sajda, with our forehead on the ground, our heart was beating with the love of Allah? How many of us from Allahu Akbar till Salam even thought about Allah? When the salah of this ummah is such, the Nabi Pak Salaam says, لُفَّتْ كَمَا يُلَفُّ الثَّوْبُ الْخَلِقُ ثُمَّ ضُرِبَ بِهَا وَجْهُ. That salah is saying, ضَيَّعَتَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you like you destroyed me. And wrapped up like a dirty cloth and flung back at his face. Have mercy on ourselves. Have mercy on our families. Have mercy on this ummah. Don't fall into the trap of shaitan, al-iyadu billah, that we are saying, go in the path of Allah, and give da'wat of Allah's greatness, and speak of the greatness of Allah, and speak of the nur of Allah, and speak of the qudrat of Allah, because you are going to reform someone else. We are in need. When this salah is the type of salah that I make, when my yaqeen on Allah is such, that even in sajda it is the shop and the job and the wife and the children that is in my heart, and my heart no longer beats with the love of Allah, my tongue, I can't move it for 5 minutes in the love of Allah. Listen to the speech of this ummah today. What are you talking about? What are women folk talking about? What is the talk around us? The ghair of Allah, and the ghair of Allah, and the ghair of Allah, and this superpower, and that technology, and that science. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. Allah says, all their forces, and all their science, and all their technology put together is like the home of the spider, and there is nothing weaker than the home of the spider. The incorrect yaqeen of this ummah today has made them strong. The incorrect yaqeen of this ummah today has brought this ummah down and put them over us. This da'wah and tabligh and these ijtimaas that are taking place are not there for us to reform others. How much has my iman been made? How much do I speak about Allah? Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, hum isliye nahi kehte hai bhai, hum isliye nahi kehte hai ki Allah ke barai bayan karo, kyunki ye ek scheme hai jiske zariye se aap logo ko chille aur teen chille ke liye taiyar karenge. He says, we are not saying to you that speak of the greatness of Allah and invite towards Allah and that you are a da'i of Allah and go from person to person and tell them about Allah, because this is some scheme by which you are going to prepare people to go for chilla and three chillas. Hum isliye kehte hai ki Allah ki barai bayan karo, kyunki ye Allah ka haq hai ki uski tarah na kiya jaye. We are saying to you that speak of the greatness of Allah because it is the right of Allah. It is the right of Allah that His praises should be sung. Makhlooq ka zikr bimari hai, Khaliq ka zikr uske ilaj hai. To speak of the makhlooq is a sickness. We have destroyed and destroyed the yaqeen of those masoom children of ours also. From morning till night we have instilled into them the dollars are doing and the rands are doing, and if it's more affluent, my overseas investments which I have kept for a rainy day are going to do for you. Give that child salah, give him dua, and wallah, you have given him the greatest wealth. Because whatever happens tomorrow, if he has got ta'alluq with Allah, and he has got salah, and he has got dua, then no force and no system in this world can ever cause him to lose. Give him millions, give him billions, tomorrow he'll still lose that, or he'll use it to earn his jahannam. When this ummah lost its qibla, when this ummah lost its direction, the first zulm we made is on our own families. We destroyed our akhirat, and this Quran makes ishara to, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That a man, when he will earn his Jahannam, he won't earn only his Jahannam, wa ahlihim, he'll earn the Jahannam of his family also. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ This is the great loss. This Dawud and Tabligh, may Allah fill the qabr of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi with Noor. That chosen slave of his, Allah used to remind us of that lesson that we forgot, and not only forgot that we forgot. What was the life of Madina Munawwara? What was the life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why was stone tied to his stomach? For what did he go hungry? For what did he tolerate that his Mubarak companions should be slaughtered one by one? For what did months upon months of faqa and poverty and hardship pass upon the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did his wives suffer? Why did his daughters suffer? Why was Zainab radiallahu anha made shaheed? This ummah has failed to identify, failed to realize its nisbat with its Nabi. This is the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Sahaba describe, kana da'im al-fikri wal-ahzan. He was perpetually in fikr, perpetually in gham, perpetually in worry. Married to the richest woman in Makkah, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, yet within a short space of time the day comes that he stands on Mount Safa. Ya Jibreel, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ مَا أَمْسَى لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ سُفَّةٌ مِّن دَقِيقٍ وَلَا كَفَّةٌ مِّن شَعِيرٍ O Jibreel, by the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, today in the home of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there isn't one grain of wheat, there isn't one strand of barley. The home was emptied. Richest woman in Makkah. Everything was given. And when she gave everything, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, Jibreel comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, O my beloved Nabi, Allah has sent me to inform you that Khadija is coming to you. She's carrying a container of food. O Nabi of Allah, Allah has sent me with salams for Khadija. And convey my salams to her also. And give her the glad tidings that she has suffered in this world for the sake of your deen. Give her the glad tidings that Allah has already prepared for her a palace in Jannat where she will know no la sakhab fihi wa la ta'ab, where she will never know tiredness or pain or difficulty again. This ummah was taught what is the role of a wife through the wife of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This ummah was taught what is the role of that union of marriage. Today in the name of deen, in the name of deen, we are filling our homes with dunya. Every occasion a new outfit. Every wedding a new outfit. Every season change of furniture. The curtain must match the lounge suites, the lounge suite must match the carpet. What was their jazba and what is the jazba of the ummah today? Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes janaza salah in Madina Munawwara. After the janaza salah of a sahabi who was born in Medina. After the janaza salah, he turns to his sahaba and he says, Oh my sahaba, if only this person had died away from Medina. But he meant if only he had died in the path of Allah. Sahaba say, Bima ya Rasulullah, why? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when my ummati will die in the path of Allah, from the point where he died to his birthplace, Allah will give him a palace in Jannat. The jazba of the ummah today is to die at home. Let me die with my family. Allah forgive us. When the ummah lost its direction, when the ummah lost its qibla, the youth of the ummah today are dying in masiyat. Those youngsters traveling at high speeds with that music blaring, with the necklaces around their necks and with the gold on their bodies. If they meet with an accident, what is their hashar going to be tomorrow? What answer are they going to give in the court of Allah? We've given everything for their worldly comfort, for their worldly ease. best of education, best of wealth, best of comfort, best of luxury, what will happen to those parents when they are told tomorrow that forever and ever, that child whom you didn't want to miss one meal will face the eternal hunger of Jahannam. That child whom you couldn't see thirsty will face the thirst of Jahannam. That child whom you couldn't see with a pain in his knee or with a pain in his head will now face the azab of Jahannam. What will happen to those parents tomorrow? إِنَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَظْهَرْ فِيكُمْ سَكْرَتَانِ سَكْرَةُ الْجَهَلْ وَسَكْرَةُ حُبِّ الْعَيْشِ. Janabi Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this ummat will be on a bayina from its Rabb. What is meant? The hidden system and nizam of Allah will be subjugated to this ummat. Like in the battle of Sham, Sahaba were 1,000, the enemy was 100,000. They say, Kunna kannuktatil bayda fi jildith thawril aswad. We were like a strand of white hair on the body of a black ox. 1,000 against 100,000. Ma kana shi'aruna illa an qal, Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. All we did was we said, O the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their hearts were alive. They were on their maqsad. They were on their object. They were on a bayina from Allah. They say, Abdullah bin Umar says, all we did was we said this. In Farajat Fissamai Furja, he says, I saw the sky splitting open. I saw horsemen coming down. They had turbans tied to their forehead. They said, Abshir ya Ummata Muhammad, faqad ataakum al-Nasr. Become happy, O the Ummata Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The help of Allah has come. The help of Allah has come. Innakum ala bayyinatin min rabbikum ma lam tadhhar fikum sakratan. You will be on a bayyina from Allah. No system of batil in this world will ever stand in front of you as long as two intoxications do not overtake you. One is the intoxication of jahalat. Ignorance, we mentioned earlier, not ignorance of university education. Ignorance of Allah, ignorance of Rasulullah, ignorance of Qabr, ignorance of Jannat, ignorance of Jahannam, ignorance of Azan. When the Ummah will not know what it is to cry in the dead of the night. When the Ummah will not know the sweetness of crying before Allah. When the Ummah will not know the sweetness of the hardships in the path of Allah. Where in Uhud, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes upon the remains of his beloved uncle, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Chest ripped open, ears cut off, nose cut off, liver removed. Such a pitiable sight that one sahabi mentions the words of the poem where he says, بكت عيني وحق لها بكاء بكاها وما يغني البكاء ولا العويل على أسد الإله غداة قالوا أحمزة ذاكم الرجل القتيل أصيب المسلمون به جميعا هناك وقد أصيب به الرسول عليه السلام ربي في جنان يخالطها نعيم لا يزول. He says that eyes of the ummah are wet with tears at a juncture when tears will be to no avail. The lion of Allah has fallen. The lion of Allah, Hamza, has fallen. Herein lies the remains, the dissected remains of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His loss has hurt the ummah. His loss has hurt the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alayhi salamu rabbi. Alayhi salamu rabbi. May the salams of my Allah descend upon Hamza. Fi jannatin yukhalituha na'imul la yazulu. Because in return for this, Allah is going to give him a jannat, a paradise in which he will experience the bounties of Allah, which will never ever come to an end. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was the bond between him and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Abdul Muttalib takes a wife On the same day that he gets his son Abdullah married to Amina. 1 year later, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. 1 year later, to Abdul Muttalib with his new union, Hamza is born. They were uncle and nephew but same age. Thuwayba, the slave girl of Abu Lahab, breastfed Hamza, she breastfed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. They were foster brothers. They grew up together. What it must have been for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see the remains of his uncle. Yet, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, he said, لَوْ لَا تَجِدْ صَفِيَّةُ فِي نَفْسِهَا لَتَرَكْتُهُ حَتَّى تَأْكُلُهُ الْعَافِيَةِ حَتَّى يُحْشَرْ فِي بُطُونِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِن بُطُونِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, if it were not for consideration for my aunt Safiya, the sister of Hamza, if it were not out of consideration and regard for her, how she would feel, I would have left the body of my uncle Hamza to lie on this battlefield till the birds came and ate it up, so that tomorrow on the day of judgment, Allah may raise Hamza from the stomach of the birds. One was their zeal and the other is our zeal. He put them onto Qurbani and then Qurbani and then Qurbani. Whatever persecution, whatever hardship, whatever hunger, whatever pain, whatever suffering came in front of them, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow it to deter. He did not allow it to deter him or his sahaba, because the goal was the hidayat of insaniyat. Abu Qudama Shami says, I made tashkil of the jamaat to strive in the path of Allah. The jamaat had to leave the next day. As I returned to my home in Medina, a woman who appeared very attractive started calling out to me. I said, innaha makidu shaitan. This is the trap of shaitan, and I ignored her. She called my name out again. And she said to me, Abu Qudama, your reaction is not the reaction of the sulaha, of those who are pious. When he heard this, he realized that this is not a trap, but this woman is sincere. So he turned towards her. She said, tomorrow your jamaat is going to strive in the path of Allah. I don't have anything left. So I have removed 2 locks of hair from my forehead. I am requesting you to tie this onto the mane of your horse, so that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, I can tell Allah that everything I had given. When I had nothing left, then my 4 locks strove in your paths. Even the women of Medina Munawara, and this was after the time of Sahaba, such a zeal of sacrifice, of qurbani, had been instilled in their hearts. He says, the next day, as I was proceeding in the path of Allah, there was a youngster. I noticed he didn't have an animal. He didn't have a conveyance. So I told him, youngster, how are you going to strive like this? I had a spare animal, I gave it to him. Just before the battle could begin, this youngster turned to me and said, oh, Abu Qudama, I don't even have any arrows. Can you lend me 3 arrows? He said, is this the time to be taking a loan? Nevertheless, I lent him the 3 arrows on condition. I told him, I'm lending you these 3 arrows, but tomorrow, if Allah accepts your life, you must intercede for me on the day of judgment. This youngster accepted. He fired the first arrow. He fired the second arrow. Before he fired the 3rd arrow, he told me, each time he made salam to me, the 3rd time he said, As-salamu muwaddi'a. This is the salam of farewell. He fired the arrow, and just then an arrow of the enemy came and pierced him in the neck. He fell onto the ground. He says, when he fell onto the ground, I turned towards him. He looked at me and he said, oh, Abu Qudama, last year my father passed away in the path of Allah. This year I am going. Allah has accepted me also. My mother has no one else left. She has no more sons. I want you to console her and give her this amanat of mine. He took a sheet of cloth and a metal object. And he said, give this to my mother. And saying this, Abu Qudama says, I reminded him that you will have to make sifarish for me. He agreed, he smiled and he breathed his last. He says, we dug a hole to bury him. Each time we put him into the ground threw his body out. My companion said that perhaps he was insincere in striving in the path of Allah. I said, no, I had seen signs on him of sincerity. I thereafter made 2 rakat namaz and I raised my hands in dua. Abu Qudama said, I heard a voice from the heavens calling out to me that, O Abu Qudama, leave the body of our friend alone. Leave the body of our friend alone. He says, just then, white birds from the sky dropped down and carried his body away. He says, when I returned back to Medina Munawwara, he had given me directions. I went to the home of his mother. When I knocked on the door, he says, the door was opened by a young girl. When she saw me, she turned around to her mother and said, O mother, our father went last year. It appears my brother also is gone. Homes were broken like this. Women were made widows. Children were made orphans. This ummah was put onto qurbani. And then more qurbani. And then more qurbani. And as long as this ummah was striving in the path of Allah, they were on a bayina, on a clear proof from Allah. Allah's help was with this ummah. The promises of Allah, which are mentioned in the Quran, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادُ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Pure life for this ummah, the help of Allah for this ummah, izzat from Allah for this ummah, barakat of the heavens and the earth for this ummah, vigilancy of this earth for the ummah. The promises of Allah were becoming a reality when this ummah was on its maqsad. This young girl called her mother. She came forward. Abu Qudama says, to my consternation, I realized it was the same woman that had given me the 2 locks of hair. She looked at me and said, Oh Abu Qudama, have you come to give me bad news or have you come to give me glad tidings? He said, explain yourself. She said, if my son died a natural death, then give me bad news. If Allah accepted his life in the path of Allah, give me glad tidings. He says, I have come to give you glad tidings. Then she said, Oh Abu Qudama, was there a sign? Was there a sign? He said, yes, there was a sign. And he presented her with the cloth and the metal object. She said, Oh Abu Qudama, every night my son would wear this cloth and he would put this metal object on him. Then he would read 2 rakat salah and he would raise his hands to the heavens. And he would make dua to Allah. Allahumma ahshurni min hawasir al-tuyur yawm al-qiyamah. He would beg and he would beseech Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, raise me from the stomach of the birds. Let my hashar be from the stomach of the birds. When Abu Qudama heard this, he said, Allah has accepted.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh. Wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. Wa laka al-mulku kulluh. بيدك الخير كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام ولك الحمد على نعمة الزوجات ولك الحمد على نعمة الأولاد لك الحمد على نعمك الكثيرة وآلائك الجثيمة لك الحمد على أن جعلتنا من خير أمة أخرجت للناس لك الحمد يا ربنا حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وانزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم صل على جسد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأجساد، وصل على قبر محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في القبور، وصل على روح محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرواح. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. يا سند من لا سند له، يا ذخر من لا ذخر له، يا بديع السماوات والأرض، يا فاطر السماوات والأرض، يا من إذا أراد شيئا يقول له كن فيكون، يا رحمن الدنيا والآخرة ورحيمهما. اللهم إنك قلت وقولك الحق، ادعوني استجب لكم. Almost merciful, almost kind Allah. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have no weakness, you have no blemish, you have no shortcoming. You are the creator of time, Ya Allah. Every second, every hour is your creation. The past is equal to you. The present is equal to you. The future is equal to you. With you there is no past. With you there is no present. With you there is no future. Ya Allah, you are the creator of past, present and future. You are the controller of time. You are the controller of every breath that is going into our bodies, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are the most mighty. You are the most powerful. The last year is in front of you. Our next year also is in front of you, Ya Allah. 10 years ago is in front of you. 10 years ahead also is in front of you. You have no weakness, you have no blemish, you have no shortcoming, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this past year, there was not a single minute, there was not a single hour, there was not a single day, there was not a single week, Ya Allah, in this past year, when in some corner of the world, the blood of your ummah, of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not spilt, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there was no moment in this past year when the home of someone of this ummah was not bulldozed, Ya Allah. When the izzat and dignity and honor of some sister of this ummah was not rent, Ya Allah. When some child of this ummah was not slaughtered, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when some river of this world did not flow with the blood of this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, 2 centuries passed, Ya Allah. And this ummah is sinking lower and lower in humiliation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those three who are in the cave, those three who were locked up in the cave, when the rock came at the mouth of the cave, they presented before you their a'mal and their good deeds, Ya Allah. The first one presented his deed, you moved the rock a little bit. The second one presented his deed, you moved the rock a little bit more. The third one presented his deed and you removed this rock from the mouth of the cave and you freed them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this whole ummah, rock upon rock of torture, rock upon rock of humiliation is being heaped upon us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't have any action. We don't have any deed. We don't have any sadaqah. We don't have any sajda that we can present in front of you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from Jahannam. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Grant our family Jannatul Firdaus. Grant the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us. Accept our wealth. Accept our health. Accept our families. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka min abduka wa rasuluk Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharri ma sta'adaka min abduka wa rasuluk Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. محمد.